जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारे,
द फॉलोइंग इज अ क्लास ऑन द श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 गिवन बाय हिज होलीनेस गोपाल कृष्ण गोस्वामी रिकॉर्डेड ऑन 23rd November of 1993 in Vrindavan, India.
Gopi jana bala bhavala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Navaya vadidaye yagya Brahmaitad bhamma vadibhi Namuyanti na sochanti Nahirshyanti yato gataha. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The All-Knower, the Super Soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated state, Brahma Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma Bhuta situation. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, a devotee is inspired by the Super Soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is situated in everyone's heart and that He helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. Tesam sadada yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. As stated, those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the Super Soul, described in this verse as gya, one who knows everything, past, present and future. The Super Soul gives instructions to the sincere, unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the Super Soul, the plenary expansion of the Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the Super Soul, the plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart. But in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever-increasing new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. Om adhyana timinandasya gyananjana shalakya chakshuran militan yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavisam sapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlan Shri Gurun Vaishnavanascha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tham Sajevam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopikanda Radha Kanta Namasatute Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Navyavadhyadayagyo Brahmaitad Brahma Vadibhi Namuyanti na sochanti na hirshyanti yatogataha. So this verse is being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we have seen in the previous verses, the Lord was very pleased, satisfied by the austerities that the Prachetas had executed. For 10,000 years, the Prachetas had chanted the mantra glorifying the Supreme Lord that was given to them by Lord Shiva. And the Lord, being pleased by the efforts of the Prachetas, He appeared before them, and in the verses that we are reading, the Lord is emphasizing various characteristics of the process of devotional service. In the verse that was discussed yesterday, for example, we read how devotional service is all auspicious and how devotional service enables one to terminate all attachments. Now, in this verse in purport, many significant points emerge. The Lord says in the beginning that always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. So this is very important to understand, because as we have experienced, the materialist can never understand how can somebody chant the same mantra day and night. I know when the Hare Krishna movement, as we were getting established in the United States, you know, the anti-cult people were accusing us of brainwashing. And one of the charges that these psychologists used to bring up is, how can you chant the same mantra song again and again and again? You people must be crazy. You chant the same song, isn't it? These natural psychologists are busy analyzing the devotees. One of the reasons why they conclude that we are crazy is, they repeat the same thing again and again. And from a material angle, they have no experience of any such situation. But the same song could be repeated day in and day out. For example, in the material world, you have these hit parades. All over the world you go, you have these hit parades. In India, Geet Malas, in the Western countries, and in India, on these hit parades, you never have the same song on the top for long, isn't it? Even you have these great singers like Michael Jackson, all, they all have their days. And then gradually, the recordings, which at one time were on the top of the charts, they fade away. So in the material world, our experiences, no one can hear the same song again and again. No one can read the same book again and again. No one can see the same picture again and again, isn't it? They see a movie, doesn't matter how big a movie it may be, then after some time they want to see another movie. They hear a song, they read a book, after some time they want to give it up and read another book. Because that is the nature of materialistic activities. Because there's nothing transcendental in them, we get tired of these activities very fast. And then we want something new. And a search for newness takes us across frontiers, across different experiments. But ultimately, it is no satisfaction. As Prahlad Maharaj said, Punat Punat Charvita Charvanana. Simply chewing the chute, trying through different means to find some degree of satisfaction. But actually, there is no degree of satisfaction. So in sharp contrast to this, the Lord over here is saying that those who engage in devotional service, they are feeling freshness in all their activities. In other words, the devotee who is chanting, reading, serving, never feels stagnant. He never thinks, I've chanted now so many times, now let me chant a new mantra. I chanted so many times and now let me switch to something different. Devotee never thinks I've read the Srimad Bhagavatam so many times, now I should read something else. No. In fact, Prabhupada told us once that he was reading the Bhagavad Gita and he remarked that even I read the Gita every day. So why should my disciples not read? I wrote the Gita purpose, still I read it every day. So the Lord here is confirming the transcendental nature of devotional service. Because devotional service is beyond the three modes, you were supposed to have a lecture series on the three modes. Anyway, devotional service, because it is beyond the three modes, it is not at all affected by the material laws. And as one surrenders to the Lord, one feels increasing freshness in the execution of devotional service. That is why we can chant the names of the Lord day and night for our entire life. How many times a day was Haridas Thakur chanting? Over 300,000 times a day, isn't it? Every day from morning to night. He would not even talk to someone, nor would he eat till he had completed his required chanting. And did he ever get tired? No. In fact, even when he was caned in different marketplaces, he did not stop, because he was getting such great pleasure in the chanting of the holy name. So we must understand that this is a transcendental activity, and if we execute devotional service sincerely under the direction of a bona fide spiritual authority and following a bona fide process, not that we concoct a process. Our process is not to concoct, but just to follow the process established by the bona fide acharyas, then there will be reciprocation from the process. Then there will be reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. Why? Because devotional service is absolute. And because devotional service is absolute, when you execute devotional service, you feel the reciprocation. Just like with regards to the holy names of the Lord, it is said, Nama Chintamni Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Bhinna Tvam Nama Naminaha. That there is no difference between the Lord and His holy name. That is why when we take the holy names of the Lord, you feel satisfaction. We have experienced that those devotees who first chant their holy names, who first complete the required rounds before indulging in other activities, they're always totally satisfied. Just like when you're hungry and you eat something, you feel satisfaction. So similarly, as one executes devotional service, one feels total satisfaction. So we must understand that as we execute devotional service, one will feel more and more freshness. It is being stated in this verse by the Lord, not just freshness, but increasing freshness. This is indicated by the use of the word navyavat. Navyavat. Navya means new. So navyavat means ever increasing. So this is the nature of devotional service. Not only that fresh, but the pleasure increases more and more. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhdev, when he was instructing his sons about the importance of devotional service, what did he say? He said, Tapo devyam putraka yena sattva shadayena smad ramya sokyam vanantam. Vanantam. Vanantam means unending. So Lord Rishabhdev says that, my dear sons, please do not lead this human life like the cats and dogs. Rather, utilize this rare human life for performing austerity. And the nature of this austerity should be divyam. Divyam means for the pleasure of the Lord. Because there are many people who perform austerities, but these austerities need not necessarily be for the pleasure of the Lord. They can also be for one's own sense pleasure. And if we execute devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord, then Lord Rishabhdev says, the result will be that you will experience unending happiness. Unending. There is no limit. And the same point is also confirmed by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, in the Sikshastaka Shlokas, Actually, Prabhupada remarked that Lord Chaitanya instructed his followers to write volumes of books, isn't it? And the literature left behind by the Goswamis, for example, is the most vast in the history of religious knowledge. But Lord Chaitanya himself left behind only 8 verses that summarize the vast Vedic knowledge. So Lord Chaitanya said, Ananda Bodhi Vardhanam, Pratipadam Phum Nam Ratas Vardhanam, Sarvatmasnapam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So the same point is echoed by Lord Chaitanya in this verse of the Shikshastaka. Lord Chaitanya says that as we chant the holy names of Krishna, you will feel more and more pleasure, Ananda Bodhi Vardhanam. The pleasure will just go on increasing, increasing, increasing. In a lecture, Prabhupada once explained that there's a limit to the height of the waves of a material ocean. When you go and stand on the bank of the ocean, sometimes it's very windy and the waves get higher and higher, but there's a limit beyond which the waves never go. But the waves of the spiritual ocean, to that there is no limit. So we should be fully convinced about this point, which is that as we execute devotional service, as we give up our material anarthas, as we surrender more and more to the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, there will be reciprocation. And that reciprocation is, one will feel greater pleasure, greater satisfaction, and freshness. Now every day, for example, we breathe air in the morning. You never feel, oh, I've had this, I was breathing for so many days, I've been breathing all my life, so now I'm not going to breathe fresh air anymore, isn't it? If suppose someone locks you up in a room for a few hours, even when it's very cold, you're hankering to go out and get some fresh air, isn't it? Why is the whole world talking about the pollution of the air? Because they can't live without air. They want fresh air because fresh air is healthy and enjoyable, and polluted air leads to diseases. So, but we never say, oh, I was breathing this air yesterday, so I'm not going to go out today and breathe it, you know. You want to breathe the fresh air. So, as one executes devotional service, there is freshness. One feels total satisfaction. Further it says, the super soul within the heart. The Lord is explaining to the Prachetas that it is the super soul who makes you experience this freshness. So, this has been explained that the Lord as a super soul is the maintainer, witness, permitter, an enjoyer of everything. Ishvara sarva bhuta nam hirdeshe rajana tishtati. That the Lord is present in everyone's heart as the super soul. And Krishna explains in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, sarvasya chaham hirdi sani vishto mataha smritir jnanam apahanam cha. Smritir jnanam, smritir means to remember. And apahanam, apahanam means to forget. So, the Bhagavad Gita states that the Lord, situated in the heart as a super soul, He is facilitating our remembrance of Him, and He is also the cause of our forgetfulness of the Lord. Now, somebody may inquire, why is it that the Lord causes one to remember Him and the other to forget? Very often when we are preaching, people say, if Maya is bad, then why doesn't God take Maya away? Then there'll be no opportunity for flirting with Maya, isn't it? So the question that we are raising is, why is it that the Lord reciprocates differently with different individuals? Why is it that one person is assisted in remembering Him and another is made to forget the Lord? So the answer lies in our understanding that a living entity has freedom. And because of that freedom, we can either accept the Lord or we can actually reject the Lord. So those who desire to remember the Lord, smriti, then the Lord places them in a favorable condition, in a favorable association, where remembrance of the Lord can be facilitated and developed. And should one desire to forget the Lord, Then the Lord puts one in the association of gamblers, drunkards, etc., so that one can completely forget the Lord and never remember the Lord. So, as the super soul, as we said earlier, the Lord is fulfilling various roles. He is the witness, He is the maintainer, permitter, the enjoyer. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that in this body there's another living entity that is the transcendental enjoyer. So the Lord as a super soul is para. Para means transcendental. So the Lord as a super soul is known as Paramatma, and the living entity is known as the Atma. So as the Paramatma, the Lord is playing the various roles that we have briefly presented. And when the Lord sees that here is somebody who is serious about making spiritual advancement, then also the Lord reciprocates accordingly. So the Bhagavad Gita explains that how the living entity is Bhokta and the Lord is Bhokta. He is the maintainer. He is actually the supreme enjoyer. So the Lord is confirming in this verse that the freshness that we feel as we execute devotional service is due to the reciprocation that is there from the super soul. The super soul, when he sees that here is the living entity endeavoring to please me, here he is endeavoring to work for my pleasure, then the super soul gives one the necessary intelligence, makes one's intelligence sharper, so that one can go on this path with greater determination. So one should never forget that the Lord is situated as a Paramatma, and as a super soul, He is aware of all our desires. It doesn't take long for the Lord to detect our desires. The materialists, for example, have these days invented so many sophisticated equipments, isn't it, by which they can see things. Like now these satellites, they're all positioned with cameras. These are all spy satellites. They go on in the name of scientific research. And with these cameras, they can take pictures from a distance of so many hundreds of thousands, 200, 300,000 feet also. These are military cameras. So if the materialists have all these devices, why is it difficult for the Lord to understand what's in your mind? It's not difficult at all. Just like when you pass through a garden, just by smelling the fragrance of the flower, you can identify the flower, isn't it? So sometimes devotees are expert, those who deal in incense sticks. They're expert in identifying the flavors of the incense. So they come into the room and say, oh, is this sandalwood incense? Is this whatever the others are? So the Lord similarly can understand all our desires. Now those who are situated on devotional service, the Lord says, they are on the Brahman platform. So what is the Brahman platform? The Brahman platform has been described as that platform in which one is fully situated on the devotional path. When we are fully situated on the devotional path and we are working for the pleasure of the Lord and not for one's own pleasure, that is known as the Brahman platform. Actually, it has been explained, Prabhupada explained in these purports, that one could be doing devotional service and working for one's own pleasure. But then that is not Brahman platform. Brahman platform, when it is used in the Bhagavatam and the purport, means that position when one is working for the pleasure of the Lord. And when you are working for the pleasure of the Lord, then happiness, distress, heat, cold, victory, defeat are totally insignificant. So those who are engaged, because in the previous verse, the Lord has emphasized the importance of unadulterated devotional service. So this verse can be better understood if it's linked up to the previous verse. So the Lord is saying in this verse that those who execute unadulterated devotional service, they are on the Brahman platform. They are actually totally satisfied because actually they are on the Brahman platform. And in that position, two things happen. What are those two things? One is never bewildered and one never laments. So these are two symptoms of material existence, lamenting and hankering. Am I right? Everyone's always lamenting and hankering. Oh, I've lost this, I've lost this, I've lost this. Hankering. I must have this, I must have this, I must have this. So that is material life, lamenting and hankering. You hanker for what your neighbor possesses and you don't possess. Isn't it like the Indians when they read about the opulence of the West, they say, oh, we should also have that opulence. And you lament when you get old, you lament for the days when you were young. When you fall sick, you lament for the days when you were healthy. When you become poor, you lament for the days when you were rich. So, they're always lamenting, lamenting and hankering. But one who is on the spiritual platform, he doesn't lament and hanker. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma bhuta prasanatmana sochatina kankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Krishna explains that those who are on the spiritual path, they are prasannatma. Prasannatma means joyful. So again, this verse of the Gita confirms what is being stated in this verse. That's the beauty of Vedic knowledge. All these different verses confirm, reconfirm, reconfirm. So, it is being explained, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Those who are spiritually situated, they are always joyful. And because they are joyful, they don't hanker and they don't lament. So we must recognize the lamenting and hankering are the two diseases of material existence. And we can free ourselves from these two diseases of material existence by taking to the process of devotional service. So a devotee does not hanker and lament materially, but a devotee does hanker and lament for spiritually. How does that take place? Spiritual hankering means always desiring to increase one's service. Just like, even if you study the rasa of the gopis with Krishna, you read how the gopis were competing with each other to increase their service, isn't it? When, for example, in our temple we have Lalita Vishaka, or the gopis, when Lalita sees that Vishaka is doing so much service, she says, I must also increase. And then Vishaka sees that Lalita has increased her service, she says, I must also increase. Similarly, between Radharani and Chandravali, there's also the same type of spiritual competition. Who can do more than the other? So the point is that the devotee is hankering to increase his service. That is what it means. That is what is meant by spiritual hankering. Just like Prabhupada wanted the whole planet to be flooded with his books. Why? Because as they get flooded with his books, then the sinful seed will be drowned out. So that is a spiritual hankering. Then there is spiritual lamentation. What is spiritual lamentation? Spiritual lamentation means thinking, I have wasted so many lifetimes independent of Krishna. And because I have wasted so many lifetimes independent of Krishna, now I must surrender to Krishna. That is known as spiritual lamentation. Just like Chanakya Pandit says, Ayusha Kashana Ekopina Labaya Swana Koti Bhi. A minute's loss cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. So the devotee's understanding is that even if I waste 1 minute, I can't make it up with the wealth of the entire world. Therefore, not even a minute should be wasted in activities independent of devotional service. So if that is the understanding, that not a minute should be wasted in activities independent of devotional service, then that is the seriousness exhibited by a devotee. So it is being stated in this verse that a devotee doesn't hanker, he doesn't lament. Yes, that is a fact. He doesn't hanker or lament for material things. He's not hankering, now I've come to devotion. He's not lamenting, now I've come to devotional service, and look at me, I can't have cigarettes, I can't go to the bars, I can't go with girlfriends, I can't do this. So if one is mentally lamenting in that manner, then he'll never enjoy, he'll never understand devotional service. The devotee knows, as Raghunath Das has said, just like when you pass stool, after you pass stool, you don't meditate on the stool, you just flush it away. So Raghunath Das similarly has said that after you come to spiritual life, you don't meditate on what you left behind, because you know that what you left behind was something undesirable. So then there's hankering. So what are we hankering for? We are hankering for the opportunity to serve more. That a devotee never feels, oh, I've done so much, now leave me alone. No. Rather, the opportunity to serve Krishna is considered by the devotee to be a special privilege. Therefore, on one occasion, when Prabhupada was with some devotees, and the devotees were telling Prabhupada that now he should retire and take rest, Prabhupada said, "Don't take away my privilege to struggle for Krishna." So actually, to serve Krishna more and more, a great privilege. So, because the more we absorb ourselves in devotional activities, the easier will be for us to stay out from the temptation of the illusory energy, an idle brain in the devil's workshop. Those who are not fully engaged in devotional service, those are always looking for excuses to get out of devotional service. They remain on the material platform. They don't exhibit the spiritual happiness, the spiritual effulgence that a devotee should be manifesting. But those who are fully engaged, they're always manifesting the spiritual effulgence. They're always spiritually totally satisfied. So the Lord is explaining that one doesn't lament or hanker. One who's on this path of devotional service. So a devotee on the devotional path, even if he has some success, he recognizes that his success is due to the spiritual master in Krishna. And if something is lost, if some inconvenience is there, he recognizes this is due to his own sinful activity. And actually it should have been many, many times more severe. But due to the causeless mercy of the Lord, it's got minimized. So this is actually a very, very important verse of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, this verse goes to confirm the transcendental nature of devotional activities. And if we understand this verse and purport, then it will give us strength, intelligence and determination to reject whatever is an impediment to achieve this goal. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one should reject everything favorable for spiritual advancement and accept everything favorable. So if something is unfavorable, if some association, if some working habit, if some lifestyle is an impediment, then it should be given up. Why? Because we have a single-pointed goal. And what is a single-pointed goal? To become Krishna conscious at any cost. And therefore, it is said, whatever price we may have to pay to become Krishna conscious, we should pay that price, but we must become Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada gave us so many nice transcendental plans. One of the plans he gave was this activity of book distribution. Prabhupada gave us so many different aspects of services, by so many cultural weapons by which we could remove the ignorance of the conditioned souls. So the enthusiasm of the devotee, the understanding of the philosophy, inspires one to dedicate oneself to this very important activity. If we read these books, then we understand the importance of these books. And if you understand the importance of these books, then you understand the need for everyone to have these books. And when you understand the need for everyone to have these books, then you endeavor to give these books to everyone. That is why Prabhupada emphasized this activity of book distribution. Because beyond doubt, Prabhupada knew that except for the path of devotional service, there was no other path. So those who are actually very fortunate take part in this transcendental activity of book distribution. Because as we take part in this activity of book distribution, it gives strength and it gives one satisfaction. Just like this verse is saying, the devotee by executing devotional service feels increasing pleasure. So when we take part in this activity, you feel the reciprocation. Who do you feel the reciprocation with? From the spiritual master, from Prabhupada, from Lord Chaitanya. They say, here is someone who's trying to please me. Because in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Krishna does say, Yaidam Paramam Guyam. Who is my dearest my devotee? Who endeavors to preach my glories. So now we are soon getting ready for the Prabhupada Marathon. And here in Vrindavan also, we're going to be sending out parties all over for the Prabhupada Marathon. So those who can, it'd be nice for all those who can to take part in this Prabhupada Marathon and help distribute these transcendental pieces of literature. Because it's only by the distribution of this transcendental literature can we save this planet from being destroyed. So to summarize, the Lord is very pleased by the austerities that were exhibited by the Prachetas. And in reciprocation, the Lord personally appeared in front of the Prachetas. The Lord personally started to instruct the Prachetas. And in the verse that we discussed today, the Lord is pointing out the transcendental nature of devotional service So how we must be convinced beyond doubt that when you execute devotional service, there is total satisfaction. And if somebody is not feeling the satisfaction, if somebody is feeling, oh, this Hare Krishna chanting is boring, someone when he opens the Bhagavatam, he says, oh, I read it yesterday, now I don't have to read it. Then he doesn't understand the transcendental nature of devotional service. Or if someone says, I've done so much service now, give me a break, I don't want to do any. To abstain from devotional activities is actually very unfortunate. So the devotees are able to chant and execute devotional service because of the transcendental nature of these activities. But this supreme secret can only be understood by the devotees. It can't be understood by the non-devotees. That's why non-devotees can never understand. How can we chant the same mantra from morning to night? The materialists, when they see devotees chanting and dancing in Mangal Arati, they can never understand. Because for the materialist to get to dance, he has to be drunk, he has to have a lot of music, it has to be a special dark atmosphere. Then you only in there have this dancing and all that, isn't it? They don't get, you don't see materialists getting up in the morning and dancing. But the devotees, they start their morning program and they begin to chant and dance. Why? Because they're getting the reciprocation. Sometimes when they go in a Harinam, even the Indians say, oh, look at those mad people, they're laughing. Why are they dancing? Why do they want to show it to others? Why are they exhibiting to others they're dancing? They don't understand that this is just a natural development. It's not that something they are acting to impress some people. Because that reciprocation takes place because of the transcendental nature of devotional activities. Hare Krishna.